Show of hands, how many of you dream regularly, like dream a lot? Yeah, I dream every night. Every night I have dream after dream after dream. It's just the way my brain works. It's always been this way. If I get up or I roll over, I forget the dream and you can't get back into it. And I almost always wake up in the morning and don't know what my dreams are. But I remembered one this week because I consciously decided to remember it so I could tell you it. And these are the kind of bizarre dreams I had. In this dream, I was in jail. And Matt Naylor, who comes to our church, is a prison guard at Wilkinson Road Jail. He's also in my home group. And he was the guard that was guarding me in this jail. And I was really ticked with Matt because he took my Kindle e-reader away and locked it up and would only give it to me when I was asleep. Welcome to my dream world. Right? Makes no sense. Bizarre. If you can interpret it, let me know, because it was a bizarre dream. And tonight, we're going to continue looking at Daniel, and we're looking at the first six chapters of Daniel with the big idea of understanding how we can live as people of faith in the 21st century. And as we look at Daniel tonight, we're going to be looking at Daniel 2. And you're going to see in Daniel 2 that the king has a really bizarre dream, even more bizarre than my dream. And what I want to do tonight is I just want to walk through chapter 2 with you. I want to go through Daniel 2, and I want to see what we can learn, because there's quite a bit of stuff we can learn in here. Daniel 2, verse 1 says this. In the second year of his reign, King Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. Nebuchadnezzar, he's the king of Babylon, was having this reoccurring dream. And because of this reoccurring dream, his mind was troubled, and it said he had some sleepless nights. And if you've ever experienced that, you know what's going on in King Nebuchadnezzar's life. If you've ever had a dream night after night, and it bothers you, you know you end up being sleepless. Now, back then, dreams were considered a way that the gods spoke to you. And so obviously, if you were having a reoccurring dream or any dream, you would want to know what the gods were saying to you. And so kings would have professional advisors, and their role was to interpret the king's dreams for him. And that's why it says in verse 2 this, so the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the astrologers to tell them what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the dream, he said to them, I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar's advisors had these dream manuals. These were very large, complicated books. And they would consult the dream manuals to interpret the king's dreams. So once the advisors were in possession of the contents of the king's dream, they would go to these manuals, they'd research, and they would come back to the king with an interpretation. And that's why it says in verse 4 this, then the astrologers answered the king, may the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what the dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it. The astrologers, they were prepared to interpret the king's dream once they knew what the dream was all about. But you notice the king changed the ground rules. He said to his advisors, this time we're going to do things differently. And you've both got to tell me the dream and interpret the dream. Now, I don't think Nebuchadnezzar forgot his dream. I think it weighed so heavy on him, and he sensed the gods were saying something so important to him that he wanted to get a right interpretation. And so he says to his advisors, I want you to interpret the dream, but I also want you to tell me the content of the dream. That way he was pretty much assured of a correct interpretation. Otherwise, they could just tell the king whatever the king wanted to hear to keep the king happy. And the astrologers, they push back. They say, that's not the way we do things around here, king. Remember, you tell us the dream, we go consult the manuals, and then we tell you what the dream was all about. Nebuchadnezzar responded by basically saying, new rules. You're going to tell me both the dream and the interpretation. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you. But if you do, I'm going to reward you. Now, his advisors knew they were in a tough spot. And so they push back one more time. Look at verse 10. There was no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. The advisors pointed out that no king that they know of, no king has ever expected his advisors to tell him both the content and the interpretation of the dream. That information is possessed by the gods, and the gods don't dwell with human beings. And at that point, Nebuchadnezzar blew a gasket. He just went crazy. Welcome to Babylon. Life is pretty cushy there when things are going well and the king is in a good mood. But when the king's in a bad mood, watch out. And the king was now in a bad mood. And so he put out an execution order for all the wise men. Not just his advisors, all the wise men. And that brought Daniel into the situation. Arioch was the commander of the guard. And Arioch went out to perform the executions. As he was doing this, he ran into Daniel. And it says in the Bible that Daniel spoke to this commander with wisdom and tact. No kidding. And after the conversation with Arioch, Daniel went to the king and he asked the king for some time to interpret the dream. And the king said, okay. Now I want you to catch on to this. You got to catch on to this. What's going on here? Here is this young Jewish boy. He was in his late teen years. He's standing before a very grumpy king. And he's saying to the king, don't kill me, my friends, and others yet. Give me a little time to interpret the dream. Daniel didn't know what the dream was. He didn't know the contents. He didn't know the interpretation. You see, Daniel was stepping out in faith. And he was saying, I'm going to trust my God to give me the interpretation and the contents of the dream. So king, just give me a little time. And the king said, okay. And Daniel left. And it's interesting what happened here. Now remember, his life is on the line. His life is on the line. High pressure, crisis situation. But as Daniel leaves, he doesn't go into panic mode. He doesn't let fear overwhelm him or grip him. You know what Daniel does? He gathers some friends together and he prays. That's a good word for us. When we face those moments in life when crisis hits, rather than panicking, rather than letting fear overwhelm you, gather some people around you and pray. When you face that relational crisis, that school crisis, the career crisis, that crisis in your own spiritual life, or whatever crisis you face, a health crisis. When you face a crisis, rather than going into panic mode, rather than letting fear paralyze you, do what Daniel did. Get some friends together and pray. And you notice, Daniel gathered his friends and they prayed. It says in verse 18, they pleaded for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. And here's the great thing. God answered their prayer. And in the night, God came to Daniel in a dream, in a vision, and gave him the contents and the interpretation of the king's dream. And can you just imagine Daniel waking up? Suddenly he wakes up. The king, I got it. What would you do? I would probably run to my friends and go, guys, guess what? Or I'd run to the king and say, stop everything. But that's not what Daniel does. His first response is amazing. Daniel prays, God answers, and then before Daniel does anything, he praises God for the answered prayer. He stops and takes time to praise God. Look at this prayer. It's amazing. Starting in verse 20. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power is His. He changes times and seasons. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Daniel praises and thanks God that He is a powerful God. It seemed back then like Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar had all the power and that they were the ones who had control over Judah and Daniel. But Daniel recognized the truth of the matter. Nebuchadnezzar himself was a king because God was the one who set up the kings and disposes them. In other words, Daniel's God was the one who ultimately governed history. And Daniel praises and thanks God that He is a wise God. That He is the one who gives wisdom and knowledge. That He is the one, as Daniel says, reveals deep and hidden things. And maybe tonight you're here. And you need wisdom and direction in your life. Maybe you need wisdom and direction regarding a career opportunity. Or maybe you need wisdom and direction as to an educational route to take. Maybe you need wisdom and direction regarding some things around finances or relational decisions. And you're going, I need some wisdom. I need some direction. I need some knowledge. If that's you tonight, I want you to hear the words of James 1:5. Look what it says. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Do you need wisdom and direction in your life? Do what Daniel did. Pray to God. Ask Him for wisdom and direction. And Daniel says, God will give it to you. He's the one that reveals deep and hidden things. James says, God will give it to you. Rest on those promises. If you need wisdom and direction, go to God. And then Daniel praises and thanks God that He is the one who knows the future. In verse 22, Daniel says, He knows what lies in the darkness. Even though we may have many uncertainties, as we look into the future, we follow a God who knows what is in the darkness. We follow a God who knows the future. And when you know the kind of God that is all powerful, when you know a God who ultimately governs history, when you know a God who is wise and will give you wisdom, when you know a God who is the one who is the future knower, who knows the future, when you know that kind of God, as a teenager, you can stand before an angry king with confidence. What are you facing in your life? What are you facing in your life? Cancer? Relational breakup? Parenting stuff? Boyfriend, girlfriend stuff? Marriage stress? What are you facing in your life? You see, when you walk with God, and when you know a God who is wise and loving and powerful and all-knowing, when you know a God who ultimately governs history, then you can stand in confidence before the cancer and before the relational crisis and before the girlfriend-boyfriend crisis and before that parenting crisis and the career crisis and an angry boss or whatever else. When you know God And when you know the God that is all powerful and all wise, you can stand in confidence before anything that life will throw at you. Anything. Do you know that God? Daniel did, and allowed him to stand before an angry king. Let's go back to the story. Daniel went to Arioch after he prayed, and he said, "Stop the executions. I've got the dream." And then Arioch took Daniel to the king. And now Daniel, remember, he's risking his life. Nebuchadnezzar was a despot, and he was an angry despot. And Daniel's come before him to interpret the dream, and I love what the king says to Daniel. He says, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Can't you just see the king rolling his eyes? Like, are you kidding me? My professional advisors with their dream manuals couldn't do it. And you, a young Jewish teenager, you're going to tell me? There's no way. You know what's interesting? Daniel agreed with him. Daniel says in verse 27, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about." Watch this. "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." Daniel knew that he couldn't interpret the dream. He knew that the king's advisors couldn't interpret the dream, but Daniel knew a God who could interpret the dream. And so here's a teenager standing in this ancient throne room before an angry king, speaking boldly and unashamedly giving witness to his God. His confidence in God, his boldness should be an inspiration to us. He's standing there, and now he proceeds to tell the king what his dream was. Look at verse 31. You think I have bizarre dreams. Watch this. "Your Majesty, looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken into pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth." What a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of a huge, magnificent statue. It was awe-inspiring in size, and its head was gold, and its chest and arms were silver, and its abdomen and thighs were bronze, its legs were iron, and then its feet were made of an odd mixture of iron and clay. And in the dream, in the background, a stone comes off a mountain and flies through the air and crashes into the fragile feet of this statue, breaking the feet into pieces, which of course causes the statue to fall onto the ground. And it rapidly disintegrates into tiny chaff-like particles, which the wind blows away. Then rather than break into pieces itself, the stone grows and becomes a huge mountain, growing in size until it fills the whole earth. And then Daniel says to the king in verse 36, "This was the dream." Daniel nailed it. God had faithfully answered his prayer and had given him the contents of the king's dream. Do you notice what happened? Daniel ended up doing what the king's advisors said was impossible. Daniel ended up doing what they said was impossible. Listen, when God is with you, like he was with Daniel, the odds change. When God's in the equation changes, because nothing is impossible with God. Understand that. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Whatever you're facing in your life today, know this. Nothing is impossible with God. Daniel just showed us that. And then he goes beyond that. He just doesn't tell the king the content of his dream. He interprets the dream. Look at verse 37. I'll read it to you. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, the third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. You know, over the years, people have spent a lot of time, spilled a lot of ink trying to interpret that vision. You know, the silver kingdom is this kingdom in history. Daniel's left big toe means this. And then what they do, and they say, and if you buy this video, you'll get to hear more and get some timelines. But then the timelines pass, and they say, well, we didn't quite get that right. We've reworked it, and if you buy these videos, you'll really understand. And people get so certain about their interpretation. Listen, we don't have a clue what those kingdoms are. They could have been the kingdoms right after Daniel. They could be future kingdoms. They could have been kingdoms that have come at some other time in history. We don't know. And we will never know. How can we be so certain when the text is so purposely unclear? Here's what we do know. There are some things we know from this vision. We know, number one, that Nebuchadnezzar is the first kingdom. Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, you are that head of gold. And I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar was like, all right, I'm the head, I'm the gold, I got the best metal. And then you notice there's a silver and bronze that represents the kingdoms that will come after Nebuchadnezzar. And then we know the iron is the fourth kingdom. We don't know what that actually represents, but we know it's the fourth kingdom. A kingdom that will crush all other kingdoms. But you notice it's not a solid kingdom. It's got an intrinsic weakness, for clay and iron do not bond together. And then there's a rock. Daniel tells us what the rock represents. It represents the kingdom that God is setting up. A kingdom that is not the result of any human doing, but it's a kingdom that is brought into existence by the power of God. It's a kingdom that will expand just like the rock expanded and replace all other kingdoms. Nebuchadnezzar's dream is telling us that although human kingdoms will dominate for a season, the ultimate victory will go to God. God's kingdom will ultimately triumph. It says in Revelation chapter 11, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Daniel was telling the Jewish people back then, and he's telling us today, to not be impressed with human political power. No matter how ironish it looks, it is all fleeting, so do not fear it. And our friends in the USA need to be reminded of that right now. Remember, God's had his D-Day. It was the cross and the resurrection. And God is going to have his victory day. Revelation tells us that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we live in this in-between time. In between God's D-Day and Victory Day. But always remember that ultimately, all the kingdoms of the world will fall to the kingdom that God is establishing. And if you're a kingdom person and Christ is your king, that should give you immense hope. Because when you look out at some of the stuff going on in the world, it can seem pretty dark. But we serve a king who knows the future. And we serve a king who is directing the future. And we serve a king who will one day be king over all. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Take hope from that. Now look at the king's response, verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your king is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Nebuchadnezzar fell before Daniel and presented him with offerings and incense. It's almost like he's worshiping Daniel, and Daniel seems to accept this worship, and you're kind of like, "What's up? Daniel, you're a man of God. What are you doing allowing the king to worship you?" But I think we need to look at verse 46 in light of verse 47. Here's what verse 47 says. Because in verse 47, Nebuchadnezzar is praising the power behind Daniel. He says, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery." You see what's happening there? Daniel was honored because of what God had done through him, not because of what Daniel had done. And boy, we need to remember that because it'll keep us humble. And here's one more thing just to note as we move into the next chapter. It's an important thing to note here. We should not be misled to think that somehow Nebuchadnezzar suddenly started following Daniel's God and became a monotheist. Nebuchadnezzar was a polytheist. He had many gods. And so he goes, "Wow, pretty cool what Daniel's God did. I think I'll put him into my mix." And so it was just another God that Nebuchadnezzar was going to follow. Remember that for coming weeks. So here's two thoughts as we close out tonight. Two simple thoughts. Number one, I want you to remember this as you walk out the door. Jesus wins. No matter what. Jesus wins. No matter what's going on in your life right now, Jesus wins. End of the day, Jesus wins. Keep that perspective. If you are a kingdom person, if you're a follower of Jesus and Christ is your king, he wins. You're in his kingdom. It's all good. Jesus wins. Take hope from that. Here's the second thing. Daniel, the teenager, was able to stand before that amazingly angry king courageously and boldly because he had the power and the presence of God upon him. He had a confidence and a boldness that came because he knew that God was with him and God was empowering him. And here's the good news. It says in the Bible that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know what that means? Daniel's God is our God. If Daniel could experience it, you can experience it. And so that means you can walk boldly and confidently into your week. You can walk boldly and confidently into any crisis. You can walk boldly and confidently into anything you're experiencing if you have the power and the presence of Daniel's God in your life. So get close to God. Get close to Jesus. Walk humbly with him. And he will give you his presence and his power so you can have confidence and boldness in any situation. Daniel walked closely with God. When Daniel faced a crisis, he got on his knees with his friends and asked God. He pleaded with God for mercy, and God came through, and he will with you too. So I want to encourage you, as you go out the doors tonight, have hope. Jesus wins. Secondly, walk closely with Jesus this week, and you will find Him giving you His presence and His power so you can have confidence and boldness in anything you're going to face this week. Let's pray together. Father, I love the way Your Word speaks to us. Daniel, who lived a long, long time ago, speaks right into the 21st century. God, I pray for anyone facing a crisis tonight. They'll take Daniel's advice. They'll go home. They'll gather some friends and pray. And God, I pray that all of us will walk out those doors a little different than we came in. Maybe we came in with our eyes to the ground, not feeling hopeful. May we walk out with our eyes lifted to the sky, knowing that Your kingdom will prevail and that Jesus will win and He will reign forever and ever. Father, too, I pray that all of us this week, as we seek to love mercy and act justly, we'll walk humbly with You. And as we walk humbly with You this week, the same God that gave Daniel presence and power, may You, God, give us that same presence and power so we can walk boldly and confidently into the week ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen.